Yeah. Let's see, maybe it's time to get started. I truly have the pleasure of introducing Professor Travko Kravanja from the University of Maribor in Slovenia. Very briefly about his background. He actually obtained his PhD at Maribor with Professor Peter Glavich, who's actually, as you probably know, also, you know, one of the leading figures in process systems in Slovenia. He actually, part of his PhD, spent a year with me, and since that time I've had the pleasure of collaborating with him in some of the things that have evolved from that collaboration. Is, for example, a system called ProSynth, which is a process synthesizer based on mixed integer nonlinear programming. Professor Kravanja has been, again, very active in the area. He's worked on a number of different problems, especially all at the end related to process synthesis and applications of mixed integer nonlinear programming. He's currently actually not only professor of chemical engineering, but also the vice dean of the Faculty of Chemical Engineering and Chemistry. He's also been very active in Europe in the sense that he's involved in organizations like, for example, Eureka, which is sort of the counterpart of CASH in Europe, and he's also involved in the European Federation, organization of escape meetings, and so forth. So lately, Professor Kravanja has actually been concentrating on problems that have also, you know, an important environmental type of component, and actually he's leading a lab called Process Systems Engineering and Sustainable Development. And today he's going to be talking about some work with his student Lidia Čuček that has to do with considering direct and indirect environmental effects using sort of a multi-objective type of framework. Okay? So it's Travko, it's all yours, and thank you for coming.
Thank you very much, Ignacio, for this nice introduction. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm honored to be here and to give you this talk. It's about considering direct and indirect environmental effects in multi-objective synthesis of bioenergy systems. First, I would like to start with an acknowledgement. I would like to acknowledge Professor Ignacio Grossman and also other people that work with me along years when we develop synthesizer Prosyn and the current version Mipsyn. And also there are a group of PhD students that I work with them in the subject that I will show you. Especially I would like to acknowledge Professor Iri Klemes and Professor Peter Van Baron that we collaborate in this issue in current year. I come from Slovenia, which is a small Alpine Mediterranean country from the Central Europe. There we have four universities. The largest is University of Ljubljana, having 65,000 students, and the second one is University of Maribor, where I'm from, with 25,000 students. Maribor is a small city located at very nice ski resort. It has the oldest grape on the world, 4th century old. Maribor is going to be next year European capital of culture, and the year later Maribor will hold the organization of 26th Winter Universiade, which is a kind of Olympic Games for students. So today I will talk about incentives and different views of sustainability and how LCA-based mathematical programming approach can help us to achieve better solutions. Here I will stress a new concept which is based on considering indirect effects besides the direct effect on the environment. Then I will talk about upgrading the methods, like LCA index will be upgraded to total LCA index, footprints to total footprints, and concept of eco cost is upgraded to the concept of eco profit. Then shortly I will describe this Prosyn or Mipsyn MNLP synthesizer, and then I will illustrate those methods with the examples. So the most important thing that I believe is the question how to prevent the global warming for 2 degrees in next decades. However, there are other problems too related to population growth, limited resources, and environmental and social destructions. So renewables, because of that, are becoming more and more important, but there are several problems related to that. The first one is that prices of renewables have been rising substantially, and there is a very severe competition between renewable, let's say, supply chain and other supply chains like food, furniture, or even agricultural supply chain. This picture you probably all know. Of course, the answer on this problem is sustainable development with this environmental, social, and economic dimension. But perhaps you are not so much familiar with this 3x3x3 metrics of sustainability with three axes. There we have this. The first one is axis of principle of justice, economics, and ethics. Then the second axis about strategies, and the third one is the nature. So the least sustainable system is where we have just reward for work, where a system is just efficient, and where we have this narrow anthropocentric orientation. So when we go from just reward for the world over respect for private property to fair distribution of goods, then when we go from efficient to consistency to sufficiency strategy, and then from narrow anthropocentric to ecocentric, then we reach this sustainability far point. And then the key idea for tomorrow is to obtain systems that are efficient, consistent, and sufficient, and that are more profitable and yet socially more acceptable, environmentally less harmful. And the LCI-based system approach can help to attain easier this solution, because we are confronted with very complex system, complex supply chains, and even supply network. So first I would like to talk about this new concept based on considering also indirect effects. I would like to start with this very known definition of the synthesis from Professor Westerberg. He said the synthesis is the automatic generation of design alternatives and the selection of better ones. When we talk about alternatives, then it is very well known that more alternatives we have, the better solution we can get. So the system boundaries has to be expanded to the whole supply chains or even networks, and that sustainable alternative has to be considered while we do this the synthesis. When we talk about selection of the better one, then we have to think about a very good criteria. And those criteria, like in this case, should be also environmentally oriented, and besides direct effects, should also consider indirect environmental effects, and I will explain later what is it. And then also what we need is, because we would like to synthesize automatically with automatic generation, we should have some advanced tool, and I will shortly describe this tool, MIPSIN, which is an MNLP synthesizer, and how I see a new generation of life cycle-based synthesizer in the future. So what we see here is a simplified version of chemical or biochemical supply chain. PSC is mostly concerned now with the processes. However, we can suppose that we extend our search space also to the selection of components, selection of reaction passes, or even metabolic networks. Then we can imagine how much better solution we can obtain with respect to the economy, respect to the environment, and using, of course, a different feedstock. And the same is with energy supply chain. Here we have three the simplified version. We start with reaction, where we have either chemical or nuclear reaction, capture of electro magnetic waves, then we have production and transmission, and again, much better solution and environmentally much more benign solution can be obtained if we perform the synthesis integrally over all this level of the energy supply chain. However, we have even more complicated problems, like where different supply chains are combined in networks. Here what we see is supply-demand renewable network, which is typically consisted of four layers. The first one is agricultural supply layer. Then we have collection and pretreatment center processes layer. And then we have production plant layer, biorefinery, some said, and then demand. So the question is how to transfer biomass to green products that could be energy or some commodities. And when we look at those supply chains and supply networks, then what we can see is that there are raw materials and products that only burden the environment. And we can say this is because of their direct impacts. Direct impacts are actually due to extraction of resources, material production, use, maintenance, recycling, or disposal, even transport. However, there are also raw materials which mainly unburden the environment because of their utilization. For example, if we utilize waste rather than dispose them to environment. Or on the other side, there are also products which also unburden the environment because raw material or products or services which are now harmful because they are based on fossil fuels, fossils are now replaced by new products which are not fossil fuels. So this is then the indirect effect. And this indirect effect should somehow be measured when we synthesize this biosystems. And the total effect is then the summation of direct in this indirect effects, because usually it comes due to the product substitution. And then considering these indirect effects, LCA index will be turned to total LCA index, footprints are turned to total footprints, and concept of eco-cost is turned into concept of eco-profit. And I will explain this in the next pages. The basic thing here is to use mathematical programming to synthesize such systems, and because of there are several very powerful creative principles like optimality, feasibility, and integrality. However, there are still some very important challenges like how to solve complex supply network integrally, how to define more suitable measures for LCA-based optimization. Part of this talk is right about that, because we are introducing this concept of indirect effects. And then the question is how to perform efficient multi-objective optimization, especially when we are faced with multiple criteria. So the usual direct environmental effects, which are measured by LCA index, footprints, and eco-cost, are used in multi-objective or even composite objective optimization. For example, for multi-objective optimization, the profit is maximized versus to LCA index, or it is maximized versus to direct footprints. In cost-benefit approach, we have a single objective variable where we maximize the profit and simultaneously minimize eco-cost. Now, if we consider also indirect effects, then direct life cycle index is now converted to the total one, direct footprints to total footprints, and instead of instead of using eco cost, we now use the concept of eco profit, and eco profit is now added to the economical profit, and then we maximize the total profit. So this is the concept. Let us start with the concept of using LCA index in the multi-objective optimization. The problem is that indicators are very different, and in order to compare them, they have to be normalized somehow. For example, economic indicator, if we take a yearly profit, if we divide it by some reference base case profit, then we obtain relative profit. The same is with resource usage or pollution indicators. If they are divided by some base case values, then we obtain relative indicators, and when they are composed with suitable weights, then we obtain this life cycle index. If, however, we include also indirect effects in this evaluation, then we obtain total life cycle index. Now, what we have to note is that indirect effects are usually negative because we are unburdening the environment. So total life cycle index is always less than the direct life cycle index, and it could even obtain negative value. Because of this normalization, we perform at the LCA-based MNRP synthesis two steps. The first one is to obtain the reference point just by performing MNLP on the economical, on maximizing some economic criteria like profit or net present value. And then we, based on this reference point, we can do now the normalization, and then we can perform at the second step multi-objective synthesis now for the superstructure, which is augmented for sustainable energy and environmental alternatives. So in this case, we perform multi-objective optimization using epsilon constraint methods. So it is a sequence of MNLPs where at each iteration we are maximizing relative profit or absolute profit. Now, in the way that life cycle assessment, when we consider only direct effects, is constrained to some epsilon, which is by a suitable step decreased over the iterations until there is no feasible solution. In that way, we obtain a Pareto solution, and we say that we obtain good solution if Pareto curve is located in the left upper corner, when we have relative profit larger than 1 and this life cycle index less than 1. Otherwise, we obtain poor solution. The concept of eco-constraint MNLP is the same also for total effects. We only have here, the difference here is only that we are using total life cycle index instead of direct life cycle index. And since the total life cycle index is less than the direct one, then this Pareto curve is moved to the left, could be moved even up when we obtain even better economic solution, as we will see in one example later on. Now, the second method is based then on footprints. The drawback of the previous index method is that this subjective definition of weights, and not only that, the problem is that those different indicators are somehow then hidden in the overall index. So some people prefer to use footprints as a measure of environmental effects. So the concept here is the same. Footprints also have to be normalized to the values obtained at some reference point, usually at the maximum profit. And then when direct footprint is divided by this reference point, we obtain this direct relative footprint. And when it is extended also for indirect effects, then we obtain total footprints, divided by the same value as before. Then we get this total relative footprints, which show us how much better or worse is this total footprint compared to the direct footprint. Again, we have, because of this normalization, we have two MNLP steps. The first one is to get the reference point, and the second one is to, through the normalization to perform multi-objective MNLP. And here, instead of life cycle index, in this epsilon constraint, we have different footprints, different relative footprints. If we only consider direct effects, then we are using this direct relative footprint. And again, we obtain kind of Pareto optima solutions. If we are considering both direct and indirect effects, then here we are using, in this epsilon constraints, total relative footprint measure. And since this total footprint measure is less than the direct one, this Pareto solution can bend even to the negative values. Sometimes we obtain really very negative values for some footprints, as it will be shown later, and we can even obtain different relative profit, even higher relative profit than before. Now, the third method is about how to consider indirect effects in the concept of eco-cost. When we just use direct effects, then those direct effects are measured by eco-cost. So here we are using eco-cost coefficients like those defined by Delft University, and by doing this evaluation, then we calculate the eco-cost. When eco-cost is then subtracted from economical profit, then we get an overall composite measure, a total profit. Now, when we extend this procedure by considering also indirect effects, then those effects that cause unburden to the environment can be measured by eco-benefit. If from eco-benefit we take off eco-cost, then what we obtain we call eco-profit. So this is a new measure. And eco-profit plus economical profit gives us now total profit. So this is a new concept. Now about the tools, how to upgrade the tools to the LCI-based MLP synthesis. What is known is that there are several general MLP solvers, but however, there is almost no specialized MLP solvers to perform multi-objective optimization, especially in the synthesis of flow sheets and other systems. I was honored to spend some time with Ignacio, and during that period of the last 20, almost 25 years, we developed a process synthesizer. First version was called PROS, and now it is called MIPSIN. What you see here is a logic flow chart of this behind this package, and it is actually implementation of auto approximation algorithms. Also, there is a modeling decomposition strategy implemented here, and the very important thing is that every step can be supervised by the user, because here GAMSIR start capabilities are implemented. So that gives this package really high robustness, and we could solve so far problems that could not be solved by any professional solver so far. Up today, we developed three different computer versions, and this MLP synthesizer can be considered as a shell for chemical processes, for biochemical processes, and even we are using it in mechanics for synthesizing steel structures and even some other structures. This is the flow chart, The package consists of model generator, where we have different modules for process units, also physical properties for components, then also for heat integration and so on. And what is important is that we have here NLP initializer. It is actually a simple simulator by which we, before NLP step, just by simulation, we obtain nice initial points, and by doing this, I would say that the robustness of NLP solution improved tremendously. Of course, we can use several NLP and MLP solvers, and all this is at user disposal. Now, the future, direction is to extend this package by eco-cost coefficient and coefficient for food for footprints and different indicator, and to present solution graphically. So that might be the solution of this tool integration, and I really look forward for this next generation of LCI-based synthesizer. And based on this new concept, aggregated methods and tools, of course, more sustainable solution can be obtained. And now I would like to illustrate those methods by three examples. The first example is the synthesis of bioethanol using this concept of total LCI index. The main motivation was to achieve achieve 10% share of energy from renewable in transport. So in that case, we try to achieve that was for European country, for Slovenia. We find out that this target is actually 2 kilos, correspond to 2 kilos of bioethanol per second. And we would like to achieve that by simultaneous integration of different technologies, converting different raw material to bioethanol. So we perform this two-level MNLP. The first one is to obtain the reference point, and it is the third one is the synthesis of bioethanol based on corn process, corn-based process, and then the second one is unconstrained energy in food production on an area of 50,000 hectare, where all raw materials compete at that area, and different products besides bioethanol can be produced. So this is the superstructure for the first MNLP step for corn-based production, and from the first MNLP we obtain the reference point, which is then used for normalization for the second multi-objective MNLP. What we see here is the augmented superstructure, so the dry grain process based on corn grain is now augmented with alkaline hydrolysis technology route, then from diluted acid hydrolysis route, and then also with thermo-biochemical route. In multi-objective approach, what we use is this LCA, direct LCA index, where the weight for CO2 emission is one-third weight for social indicator. In this case, it is food to energy is one-third, and one-third is given for all the rest of indicators. When indirect effect is also considered here, additional term here appears, and it is a term by which we measure the decrease of CO2 emission by substituting gasoline by bioethanol. When only direct LCA index is used, even by that we obtain much better solutions, which much higher relative profit obtained at a lower LCI index. Now, when the total LCI index is applied, even larger relative profit could be obtained at a lower total LCA index. This diagram shows us flow rates of different raw materials and products, in this case ethanol production. And what we can see is that the target of 2 kilos per second can be achieved only by converting this wheat straw and corn stover into bioethanol. However, if we would like to increase the production of ethanol and hence the profit, also corn grain has to be converted, and also this wood chips has to be converted to the ethanol. So it means that it is better to produce energy than food. At least this economic situation is like that. However, when we implement this concept of total life cycle LCA index in the multi-objective approach, then this flow rate or this ethanol production flow rates are now really much different than before. We can obtain much higher production of ethanol and hence the profit. Basically, the same holds for the targeted 2 kilos bioethanol per second. Only waste can be used, agricultural residuals can be used to produce this bioethanol, while all the rest can be sold as food. Now, what we could see is that significantly different solution can be obtained when direct effects is when beside the direct effects also indirect effects are considered. And what we could see is that total life cycle index can even have negative values, this considering indirect effects means that alternatives which unburden environment the most are preferred over those that has the least direct impacts on the environment. Now, the second example is about implementation of this concept of total footprint, and it is about biomass supply chain synthesis. So this is the supply chain network or supply network that I already described before that we use to produce biomass and convert biomass to green products. This is the model. For each layer, we have different constraints. For example, for the layer one, the most important are those production of intermediate products. For the layer two, is there constraints to determine location of collection treatment centers. At the third level, we would like to determine the location of process plant and to select the most suitable technologies to transfer intermediate products to final products, fulfilling some demand constraints. As a measure, economic measure, here we are using yearly profit function. Besides this economical measure, we also consider different footprints, like in this case, there were carbon footprints, energy footprints, water footprints, agricultural land footprints, water footprint, and also this food-to-energy footprint. This is actually a new footprint that we introduce in order to try to find solutions that we would actually rather produce more food than energy, especially from crops like corn and similar. This is the example how we calculate those environmental footprints. For example, at the layer one, those flow rates at that level are now multiplied by specific environmental footprint and divided by the area. So all environmental The footprints are defined annually and per unit of supply chain networks total area. And then we sum those footprints all over all four layers. And as I said before, the total this food-to-energy footprint is defined only for multifunctional or multi-product crops, and it is defined as a fraction of food-intended crops used for energy production. This is the small example that we used. The area is divided into 10 zones, so each zone can produce different raw materials. Then we have several, those endpoints are then alternative collecting points, and they're located close to the road. And then we have two internal demand points and one external demand point. So raw materials in this case are corn, corn stover, municipal solid waste, wood chips, manure, and timber. Different technologies are considered to convert them to products like electricity, heat, bioethanol boards, digestat, DDGS. At the first MNLP level, when we perform maximization of the yearly profit, we obtain for those several footprints their direct values, their indirect values, and finally total values. What we can see is that for carbon footprints and for energy footprint, we obtain negative value, which means that biomass network actually, at least in this case, unburden the environment. So this is the Pareto, this is the collection of Pareto curves for different footprints when direct effects is used. More or less all of them are very, very similar. Here we see that we have this slightly concave behavior of those, which means that first, more profitable and less environmentally harmful alternatives are used. However, this footprint here is very different. It is footprint food to energy, and that means that until when we reach profit of more than 25 mega euro per year, then the food is then also transferred into energy in order to get more profit. This is now when we also consider those figures here. This figure present Pareto curves when we consider also indirect effects. And what we can see is tremendous change of this Pareto curve for energy footprint and for carbon footprint. And they turn to be negative, which means that biomass network actually unburden the environment when we consider these indirect effects. Also, what we can see is that water purification footprint is now halved, and then a slightly smaller value we also obtain for water consumption footprint. While for land footprint and food to energy footprint, we obtain the same curve. This is the other diagram which shows how production of different products are distributed over the profit. For example, this black curve shows us how by profit the production of corn is increasing, and then not the production, but the sales of corn grain is decreasing because more and more corn grain is then converted to the bioethanol. When also indirect effects are considered, we obtain a quite different solution. Almost more than 2.5 more corn grain is now produced, and also the other shapes of other footprints are different now. So what we conclude even in this example is that significantly different solution can be obtained if also indirect effects are used or considered when compared to solutions where only direct effects are What is interesting here is that typically for biomass supply chain, very negative total carbon footprint and energy footprint are obtained. And for water purification, water consumption footprint, we can say that they are slightly reduced. However, for land and food to energy footprint, we can say that they remain the same. Now, the last example is about the synthesis of biogas based on eco, a novel concept of eco profit. Just to remind you, here we are using total profit, which is a measure, composite measure of economic plus eco profit. And eco profit is the difference between eco benefit and eco cost. This unburden of environment, this indirect measure, is actually represented by eco benefit. Here we have a superstructure of this biogas process. Here we have different processes like thermophilic, mesophilic, mesophilic in combination without or with a rendering plant. We have here different substrates. We can either use pig farm for substrates, or we can even erect a new poultry farm. If additional water is used, it could be used as a fresh water or industrial wastewater. If industrial, then we can supply it by sewage pipeline or transport it by cisterns, and we can have a closed or open water system. If it is open, then we are using central treatment unit, otherwise ultrafiltration and reverse osmosis, and simultaneous heat integration is performed on this example. Now, with the concept of eco cost, where total profit is economical profit minus eco cost, the solution are the following one. First, we just perform maximization of this problem based on economic profit. In that case, we obtain also eco costs, but what we can see is that eco costs are much larger than economic profit, so the total profit is actually negative. So when we perform minimization of eco cost and maximization of total profit, we actually get the solution where it is better to produce just nothing. And this we found based on considering only direct effects on the environment. So somehow I feel that just considering direct effects, we can get a wrong solution and we can make wrong decisions. As we will see later, we can here also perform a multi-objective optimization. We can maximize economic profit now versus to eco cost, and then we obtain this Pareto curve. What is interesting with this Pareto curve that the most profit solution is the one with the closed water system, which caused the highest eco cost, and the reason for that is because with a closed water system, we would produce organic fertilizer, which is very harmful for the environment, much more harmful than inorganic fertilizers. Now, when we turn the concept to considering also indirect effects, then instead of eco cost concept, we are now using this concept of eco profit. So the total profit now is economic plus eco profit together. Of course, when we perform just maximization of economic profit, we obtain the same solution, but the eco profit, as we can see, considering indirect effects, is now plus 2.6 megadollars per year. So the total profit is also very positive. Now, when we perform just maximization of eco profit, which is another extreme, the eco profit is now increased for 1 million. However, the economic profit decreased for 1.5 million. So the total profit is less than before. So the compromise solution is obtained by the maximization of total profit. and where we obtain the economic profit, which is very close to the one obtained at the maximization of economic profit, and the total profit is now slightly higher. So here we have those two extreme solution point, maximization of eco-profit and maximization of total profit, while this maximization of total profit is somewhere, this is the extreme point, maximization of eco-profit, this is maximization of economic profit, maximization of economic profit, and this is now the combined measure, which is total profit. Here we see the Pareto curve when we perform multi-objective optimization, which is maximization of economical profit versus eco-profit, and what we can see at this kink here is this compromise a solution with maximization of total profit. And that solution, when we see, is much in respect to the economical profit, is really not so much different. However, the difference in eco-profit is much, much different. So one would think that just by small compromise in economical profit, one can get a big improvement in eco-profit. So this is a good way of investing in environment. However, as we can see here, when we go down, more about 2 million, we can achieve very small improvement in economic eco-profit by decreasing economical profit for about $2 million per year. So this we can say that this best solution at this kink is obtained when the closed water system turns into open water system, and also there are some other structural changes here. This figure shows us Pareto curve for eco-profit-based solution versus eco-cost-based solutions. What we can see is that different structural solutions are obtained with respect to those different curves. And also, when we obtain the same structural solution, they are positioned at a different profit level. So, again, the conclusion is that a significantly different solution can be obtained if eco-cost or eco-profit concept is used, which means direct and total effects. Also, what is interesting in this example is that just considering direct effects, one may get a wrong solution. So the concept just on eco-cost may give wrong solutions. So to conclude, what we find out is that, especially by those three examples, they indicate that besides direct effects, also indirect effects has to be considered and measured in LCA-based synthesis approach. And we introduce three new measures, total LCA index, total footprints, and total profit, which is based on in the concept of eco-profit. This gives us a new perspective, and it is so that we should search for alternatives that unburden environment the most, and especially in this example, we find out that those in the optimization, the simultaneous optimizations, those alternatives have higher priorities over alternatives that just have smaller impacts, direct impacts on the environment. By doing that, we can obtain really better solutions, which are even more profitable, as we saw in the example of bioethanol, and on the same side, they can be environmentally less harmful and could be even socially more suitable. By that, I would like to thank you for attention, and I would be glad to answer any question. Thank you very much.
I can see
see if we have any questions or any comments. Let's see, is anybody out there who would like to ask any questions? Look like. We never get questions from those people.
I have a question. So,
can you speak up?
Yeah, you said you were solving MINLPs, and how detailed are the processing models in your MINLP? I mean, are you solving, differential equations or something?
No. Different. In this case, not.
Okay.
It could be also a differential equation. I mean, you can have different levels of details in your models. In this case, I can say we use mostly very simplified models because the size of model sizes were very huge. For example, this complex superstructure for bioethanol. I think the size of model was several 10,000 of equations and variables. So very precise kinetic models were used and so on. Probably we will not get any solution. Yeah. So we have to compromise details with the size of the solution.
Yeah, I saw some separation units there in the flow sheet, and I was just wondering how.
Okay, like in this case, distillation units, we use shortcut models,
okay.
Fan scans and so on, shortcut models,
I think maybe one of the things I was wondering about this concept of unburdening the environment. I mean, obviously the idea there is to give credit, which I think, in many ways does seem to make a lot of sense. The only thing I'm wondering is, that would also kind of tend to indicate that what you want to do is, in general, to focus on inefficient systems, right? In other words, because that's where you would get the most credit in the sense that, for example, if you're competing with a system of fossil fuels that, generates maybe CO2 and so forth, but maybe that system is already fairly efficient, you're actually going to get less credit than if you again focus on something that's I thought it was very interesting to have this concept. Has this not been reported before? Are you the first one who has that, or
so far?
No, because it seems to make a lot of sense. Well, one of the things that maybe just for the benefit of the audience here, we've also done actually way back. At some work with a fellow named Bob Travant and Rakesh Jain. And we had this index of toxicity versus net present value. Then, of course, when you say, well, if I want to minimize toxicity, what's the optimal answer? The optimal answer is not to do anything. Don't build anything, because if you don't do anything, then that's the optimal. And in a way, the way you're turning around is to say, well, you should get actually some credit if you do something, provided you substitute it for something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when I'm only, sort of just thinking loudly, is that truly sort of a... I mean, I like the fact that because it gets around to that problem, which has always bothered me. Actually, we have somebody here in the Green Design Group, civil engineering people. They always also come up with that issue, that when you minimize impact, then the answer is, well, do nothing. So
I mean, the perception is... There is an analogy of, for example, if we are talking about eco-profit, there is an analogy with economical profit. It is for sure in most of cases, better to maximize profit than to minimizing cost. Why? Because those alternatives that contribute to the profit most are going to be selected. And this here is the same. If we are maximizing, let's say, if we are maximizing eco profit, then those alternatives that would burden the environment the most would be selected. Otherwise, they would probably not, because perhaps they have a larger impact on the environment than the other alternatives that would be selected if only direct effects would be considered.
Can you comment also the concept of eco-cost? How do you cost, the production of CO2 or...
For example, you just calculate the emission of CO2 and then multiply it by specific eco cost coefficient, and you can get it.
But where does that come from?
There are groups like there's a group at Delft University.
Delft.
That provide that. Basically, we do that way. And the concept behind this coefficient is it is the cost of mitigating the problem.
I see.
For example, for CO2, it is actually cost of CO2 sequestration.
Okay. I guess the other question, I noticed that you mentioned the program GABI, which is, can you comment that versus other systems? Because, there's
actually,
always issue, how do you really measure those?
What is useful there is this EcoInvent database. Otherwise, everything else we have to calculate ourselves in our model.
Right.
But the problem with the EcoInvent database is that those coefficients there are overall coefficients for the current technologies. If you change something in your technology or you make some modification, then those coefficients are useless.
Right.
So we somehow have to make our own calculations even for those values.
So, any other questions? Pedro?
Okay. So, it seems like in every presentation that we see in terms of environmental impact, people are coming with all sorts of indexes. And today there have been, I think, a few I wasn't aware of. So, which one should we one use to...
Well, in this case, actually, we decided ourselves how to define the index. For example, in this case of production of... bioethanol, you just say that CO2 emission is equally important than, let's say, food to energy footprint, and equally important just like all the rest. So we just put one third the weights to those three groups of indicators. And you can feel here that those indexes are really. They have this drawback of, you know, of defining those ways. This is really very subjective, and the way how to avoid this is then to use indicators, or rather footprints directly in multi-objective approach.
Okay.
I don't like much indexes, really, because a lot of informations are hidden.
Maybe one last question.
When you solve a series of MINLP problem that only differs in one RHS, right-hand side coefficient, using the local environment in GAMS, is it possible that you can benefit from the previous iteration to solve the current?
Well, you mean when you do the multi-objective?
What?
Uh-huh. Yeah, of course, it is the loop around... solve a statement in GAMS, so actually the solution from previous is then used as a starting point for the next step, so it goes really pretty fast.
Well, I think conceptually what you have there is a parametric programming problem, so the work that Stratos Pisikopoulos has done could be applied there. So right now it's just solving MINLPs. I mean, you only get the starting point from the previous solution for the relaxed NLP, which helps a little bit, but it's, you know, it's not the same as, again, the full-blown parametric solution, because that
means... Yeah, it's not
okay.
Explicitly there. Yeah.
All right, well, again, thanks very much for a very interesting
welcome.
Seminar. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Very nice.
Actually, the question is
why the zero? Yeah, because that's really...